But I'm going to start off today playing Bob the Builder. Want to play Bob the Builder with me? I'm going to be the test dummy. I'm very qualified for this. Had a lot of practice. Not at testing, but being a dummy. If I was going to build myself into the most perfect and best Christian I could be, what would I do? What would I need? First, salvation. Everybody agree? You might think that's strange. Well, salvation, of course we know that. You might be surprised the people that are walking around thinking that they're saved and they're really not. And it's not their fault. I can remember that we've had a couple people that, one gentleman, great guy, he was a member of the church for quite a while, but he was always having problems. He could only go so far, it seemed, and he was trying his hardest. And finally the question come up, well, tell me your salvation story. Well, the last church I was at, I took a class. A class? Yeah, and they give me a diploma. I got it on the wall. Well, heck yeah, you're saved, and if you've got a piece of paper that say that. I said, well, why don't we try again? Start from the beginning. And he prayed a true salvation prayer. Not just a piece of paper on the wall. He asked God into his heart. And from that day on, what a change. How much easier it got for him. Pastor Don, always the first thing he asks somebody when he meets him, hi, tell me your salvation story. Right? Always start at the beginning. But if I'm going to be the perfect Christian or the best one I can be, I need to be saved. I want to no longer be an enemy of God. I want to be a friend of God. Right? If God's on my side, who's going to stop me? Right? All right, what else do you think I need? What's Pastor John talk about all the time? Holy Spirit, good idea. All right, I'm saved. Now I fill myself with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who can stop me? I'm filled. I have all the power in the universe. Now, I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Whew, I can feel, I'm getting ready now. I can feel it, right? I'm going to do something. I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. What more do I need? Ah, we're going into battle now. I need me a weapon, right? The Word of God. The Word of God. I'm set now. I can feel it. I'm saved. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I got a sword. Ain't nothing going to stop me now, is it? No, no, no. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm going to go. I'll be right back. Oh, hold it. That's the bathroom. Wait. Nope, nope, nope. Gee, what should I do? What? Direction? Oh. Fourth leg to the chair. I can have all the power, everything. But what good is it if I don't know what to do with it? That's where the fourth leg of a chair. A four-legged chair is more sturdy than a three-legged stool, right? The fourth thing that we need is to know God's will, personal will, in our lives. And it's different for everybody sitting here. Everybody sitting here has different fingerprints, right? You have a different calling on your life. Everybody is an individual. God did not make you without a reason. He put you here to do something. So now, I think I have all I need. I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I have the Word of God. And God is starting, I'm starting to listen to God and get some clear direction. It's all you need. Four things. That's why I titled this message, Christianity is Simple. Not easy. I've said that a few times and people have come and argued with me. I didn't say it was easy. It's simple. Four things, and you can build and do anything that God wants you to do if you have those four things in your life. But today we're going to talk about, as Pastor John has been speaking about, Pastor Don, everyone, the fourth leg to that chair, knowing God's will in our lives. Now, there's two different, knowing God's will, we could really break it down into two different things. First, how I should act and what should I do. That's more of a corporate thing. That's covered, without a doubt, in the Word of God. How we should live, how we should treat other people, what we should do as far as being a Christian society, members of a church, everything, right? That's spelled out for us. That's pretty well the same for all of us. There's not much variance there. But the second part, what should I do personally? That's where it's different in each and every one of our lives. What God has called me to do is not the same as the Bobby sitting up there. Wave, Bobby. All right. What's better than one Bob? Two Bobs. But I'd have to ask myself, be like the Bereans. What should we do Should we, I'd have to ask myself the question, should I, can I, and why do I need to know God's will in my life? Does God want me to know it? Is it like a secret? Am I smart enough to know it? Is it the right time to know it? Let's take a look at a couple scriptures. Always go to the Word. When you're wondering if something is right, something is wrong, check it out against the Word. That's what we're going to do. I tried to pull out a few scriptures that haven't been touched on yet. And that was easy to do, believe it or not. It's not like God's will is mentioned in maybe three verses. It's a theme throughout the Word, to know His will, to be obedient. One of Ephesians 5:17. We getting it up there? No, I don't need it. I know it. I got it wrote down. I cheated. All right. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Let's turn that around and read it from the other way. Know the Lord's will so you're not a fool. Right? Who here wants to be foolish? Who here acts foolish sometimes? I think we should all raise our hand there. But we, thank you. I thought I was the only one. I think without a doubt, God is saying it'd be foolish to run around and try and do something without knowing His will. Like I was looking like a fool running around here. We don't want to do that, do we? We want clear and precise directions. When Jesus was asked, and I like this, how do we pray? Someone had the nerve to come up and ask Jesus, how do we pray? That's a great question, wasn't it? How should we pray? And part of the Lord's Prayer is, your kingdom come, in Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That should be part of every one of our prayer. His will be done, right? Now, how can we do His will if we don't know it? And even better, I got an answer. I could go on verse and verse, but I'll throw a couple out here. John 4:34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Even Jesus, that was what He was supposed to do, the will of God, right? Do you have that one up there? Yes. So someone back there wanted an answer, right? Where did I hear that from? Right up there in the balcony. There's a question. What are we going to do? We're going to answer that question. There is concrete things we can do to hear God. First of all, the thing I said there at the beginning, and Pastor John used it a week or two ago, can you hear me now? Remember that little commercial? for the telephone company, "Can you hear me now?" That's God all day long. His voice has got to be getting sore. "Do you hear me now?" "No, no. I think you need an Hawaiian vacation." "Oh, I think I heard him." "Oh. You need to sell everything and go to a missionary trip." "Huh?" A lot of our trouble is sometimes, let's be honest, we don't want to hear what God has to say. Too many times I've been like that. And is he asking anything hard? How many people here has he asked to die today? Physically. So I'm going to throw out some ways that we can hear God speaking his will in our life. Now, if God is going to ask us to do something, he's going to let us know, right? What to do, where to go. All we have to do is what? Let's go to the first thing. Prayer. Usually that's the last thing. "Well, doggone, all else has failed. Let's pray, Pastor." Don't save that till the last thing. That should be the first thing that we do, is pray. Now, that's easy to say. Now, if I say, "All right, let's start praying. Brother, come on up and start praying." He's going to get up here. He's going to start going to town, right? Good. But you know what the best prayer is to know God's will and purpose in your life? Listen. Why are we talking to God in prayer? Does he need to know what we need? I am telling God what should happen, right? I should keep my big mouth shut and listen to him. It's the best thing we can do in most cases. Your best prayer to know God's will is to listen. Some of us don't like to be alone with God, do we? We're like Adam. We want to go hide because we feel naked in front of God. Well, you can't hide from God wherever you're at. He loves you no matter what. He knows you're dirty and filthy, right? I mean, the dirtiest and filthiest is standing right here. I think I'm wanted in 5 states and 3 countries, but I'm standing here. You laugh. There's a lot of truth to that. And in prayer, always ask the right question, right? We always go with a laundry list of what we want, like a honeydew list. Well, God, you know that I'm married and separated from my wife 3 years, but I don't know which one of my 2 girlfriends I should move in with. How come I'm not hearing anything? Ask the right question. Is that a ridiculous question? Yes, but you'd be surprised some of the ridiculous questions we ask God, don't we? Trying to manipulate him a little bit. And also we have to ask with the right motives. Lord, no, I'm sincere. If you give me a new Cadillac, preferably red, I would be able to bring 3 kids to Sunday school. Amen. What a heart. That's me. That's how I am. Okay? What about, can I get an old, used 14-passenger van that runs good, and I can bring 13 kids? Right? What's your motives? Are you doing it for him, or are you doing it for yourself? Next thing is the written word. I had that out here a minute ago. The answer book, the Word of God. Answer to everything is in there. You ever notice that he always opens the right scripture at the right time? If we're going through something, I've heard several people say, "Well, I kept hearing the same verse for 2 weeks now." Well, golly, maybe God's trying to tell you something, right? We can hear the same scripture over and over, then all of a sudden one day something hits us. Because it's the right scripture for the right person at the right time. After this word today, every time I do a teaching, was there about 100 people here? 10 people come up and say, "Bob, that word was meant for me." And you're right. It was. I could give the same message 2 weeks from now, and another 10 would come up. The Word doesn't change. Where we're at in the Word is what changes. The Word is living and active. It's like it's something that you throw out there and use. The third thing, godly counsel. Godly counsel. That's one of the main reasons, not the only, but one of the main reasons we're in a church. We're in a body. Godly counsel from the leaders that God has placed in your life. Don't go somewhere else for counsel. If you were placed in a body, this is where you come for counsel. Right? And you know what's good about counsel? Nothing if you don't listen to it. There's been times, I'm sure, our pastors have spoke their head off and somebody goes and does something else. Well, Pastor, I know what you said is true, but you know my heart. Yeah, so does God. We have been blessed here that we have two excellent pastors. Great, excellent, whatever you want to call it. We're blessed. Churches are dying for the lack of one good pastor. Or maybe we're just such a rough bunch we need to. I don't know. But one of the greatest gifts that God has given each and every one of us sitting here is godly men to go to. Besides the pastors, you have your home group leaders. You've got a lot of gifted men and women in this church. Now, why would you go somewhere else for counsel? Well, I'll go over here. Why? Well, I don't know. Maybe he'll agree with me. That's the reason. When we get something in our mind and the pastor tells you, well, I don't think that's quite right. Well, automatically the pastor's wrong. So what am I going to do? Accept it? No, I'm going to go find me somebody that'll agree with me. You ever notice miserable people hang together? Likes attract. I'm sorry, they do. I remember a story, I've shared this several times. They had a friend that we used to talk all the time. He was having some marriage difficulties. Lord knows none of us have ever had that problem, have we? Right, Sharon? That's my wife. And I'm giving him some counsel and some things that he needs to do, you know, be the husband. He's like, well, I can't accept that. I don't think that's God. I'm going to go over and ask Fred. Fred! He's been divorced 3 times. Yeah, but he's been married 4 times. He knows more about women than you do. You've only had one. When he said it, it almost made sense to me. You know, you got a good point there. But we don't have to look far to find somebody to agree to our sin, do we? And that's all we want. If that's what we want, save your time. We need to listen for God's advice. And that comes through the pastors. If those three things are the most important, prayer, the written word, and godly counsel. Have you ever stood at like a telephone poles or a fence where everything, if you look at one and all the others are red behind it, you only see one? That's called perfect alignment. If these things line up, you're pretty well safe that you're in God's will. You're going in the right direction. But he doesn't leave it there. There's so many other ways we can know his will. But those three, for any decision you make, those three should line up. Why make a decision without going and getting some help? My goodness, if we're going to have an exterminator come in and get rid of the rats in our house, we're going to get 5 estimates. You're going to get your car worked on. You're going to go get 6 estimates. But we won't go to the pastors for one word of advice on our life. Which is more important? My life. I can get another car. I only got 1 shot at this life. But God gives us so many other ways besides these three. Gifts and abilities. Each one of you sitting here has different and unique gifts and abilities. And let me tell you, they come from God. Whether you're saved or whether you're not, all your gifts and abilities come from God. Now, why do you think he gave you those gifts and abilities? Because he had nothing better to do? He was just flipping them out? Like, no. There's a specific reason. Because it's part of the call that God has on your life. How many people here believe that if John Clinton come up to me right now and said, Bob, I got a word for you. I think God wants you to minister in song next Sunday. Hey, come on. You're going to hurt my feelings. You know I'm sensitive. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to get a dozen confirmations on that. Now, why would I think it's not possibly God? Because He has given me no gifts, no ability in music whatsoever. I couldn't carry a guitar in a Farmer Jack bag. Right? You can ask the pastor. Do you agree with that, Pastor? I have no sense of rhythm. That is not my calling. So it's obvious that God isn't going to point me in that direction, right? There's a lot of people here that he has given that gift to. But everybody has different gifts, different callings, different abilities. And you know, we're always jealous of that. We can have the greatest gift in the world, but the grass is always greener. I'll tell you the truth. I always look at the people up here, all kidding aside, on the music. I mean, I'd love to do that. Little Alex, three feet tall and 5 feet of word coming out of her. I don't know. I say, man, I wish I could do that. Pastor John playing the guitar. Man, I wish I could do that, right? You know, all I see them is up here for that half an hour. They just get up here and, oh, everybody, oh, you're so great, so wonderful. Oh, that's God. He said to me, Bob, you don't see the 16 hours, the 8 hours I spend, the months and years that I've spent in my basement where people don't see me practicing, right? Oh, forget it. Glad you told me that. I don't want any part of that. I want a gift I don't have to do anything. But we all have gifts and abilities from the Lord. And why would he give us that unless he wanted us to use it? So that's a good cue and clue on which direction he's pointing us, what his will and purpose in our life is. And of course, the Holy Spirit. Can't forget him. The Holy Spirit. Without him, we have nothing really. We can be saved and go to heaven, but where's the power? Where's the strength? What good are we doing? None. All gifts, all things work through the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian and you're saved and you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're like a sightless man in a sighted world. This world was designed for people with sight. Close your eyes and try and get home. Lord knows I've done that a few nights, but not recently, thank goodness. It doesn't work too well, believe me. The same way in the Christian world, the real world, the Christian world, was designed for people with the Holy Spirit. The only way to maneuver and see in that world is through the Holy Spirit. And we need him to direct us, to give us the ability to hear from God what he would have us do. And then when he tells us what to do, it's through the Holy Spirit that we're able to do it. Amen? Amen. If somebody doesn't have the Holy Spirit, please come up and get some prayer today. Another thing, or another way we can know what God is speaking to us or what God's will in our life is a circumstance. We've heard that so often. We stand here and say, well, this is Steve here today? Did I see Steve? Steve, stand up. Don't turn around and look. You've seen him before. You turn around and look at him, he'll start preaching. Don't do that. That's my nephew. I can do that. He was looking at a couple houses, and it just wasn't working out in some of these houses. Steve thought, man, Uncle Bob, I just found the perfect place. Right? How do you know? Well, it's got everything I want. Okay. All of a sudden, whoom, whoom, you hear. This is a sound he heard. Doors closing. God was saying, that's a beautiful house, Steve, but it's not the one for you. I've got something better. And he did, didn't he? Steve just got a brand new house, for those that didn't know it, just moving in now. He borrowed half my tool chest to go over there. But I'm not coming with it, so forget that. Sit down. But circumstances, God opens and shuts doors. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8 and 9. But I will stay on in Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened for me. But there are many who oppose me. God will open and shut doors. God will make things happen. I'll say it again. You know I'm going to say it. There is no such thing as circumstance, right? There's no such thing as coincidences. God is in charge of everything. Do we believe that God made the universe? And that's a mighty big job. But you think he could forget about making our car payment? He could forget that we needed a pair of shoes? Well, I don't know if God can do that. He may be able to create the universe, but I don't know if he can help me. Quit limiting God. The only limit God has is the ones you put on him. Right? What do we say? Pastor was talking about, I serve a big God. There's no such thing. Everything works. You just have to keep your eyes and ears open. If doors are opening, doors are shutting. Follow that. Got a couple more here. I might go with, where's Kenny? Kenny, I got 107 other points here. Think I can get to them today? I'm going to try. Here's another one that we run into a lot. Prophecy. Right? We all love to have a prophetic word, don't we? Yeah. I tell you, I don't need another prophetic. I got more prophetic words than I can walk out now. Right? Why would you ask for trouble? What are you going to say? I'd rather stand in front of God and at least play dumb. Well, God, I didn't know you wanted me to do that. We're all dying for a word so we can stand in front of God and have no excuse. Right? When you're asking from a word from God, what are you asking? A word from God, direction from God. If you don't do that, you ain't got to explain it to me, but you're going to have a real rough time explaining to him why you didn't do it. Be very careful on a prophetic word, though. It can be very twisted and used for wrong purposes. Here's one of my favorite verses in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. Be careful who gives you a prophetic word. Prophetic words should only be given by prophetic people with prophetic gifts that are tried and proven. Do not, write this down now, do not go to the laundromat for prophetic words. We had a young man that was a member here. He'd come out. He never joined, but he used to come out quite a bit. Friend of Pastor Don's, of course. And he came in all excited one day that he just got the greatest word of knowledge for his life. Well, where'd you get it? From a prophetess. Oh. What church or what? Oh, she was at the laundromat. The laundromat? Oh, yeah, she knew everything about me. I said, well, what did she say? She knew I was a young man. I was a man of God. That I loved to, I had a whole collection of shoes that I loved to dress well, and that the girls liked me. I said, did you walk in with a Bible? Well, yeah, I had one. Duh. What's the first thing you did? You start cleaning your shoes like you do here. It's obvious you could see that you cared about shoes. And all she wanted to do was tickle your ears. Oh, the girls really like you. Who's going to stand up and say, oh, no, they don't. I'm ugly. Of course a young man's going to say, well, that's true. So everything else after that point is going to be true, isn't it? No. word should only be accepted, like it's telling us three here, two or three people, right? Get other verification. Just one wild word out there, you never run with it. Never. Only given from a proven person, somebody that you know. And usually, when you're receiving this word, you have a confirmation in your own heart, isn't it? You say, wow, that's right. This is something God's been speaking, or something I've been knowing. But that isn't always true, is it? Linda, I'm going to pick on you. Uh-oh. You remember the young lady maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, that you brought up for prayer? Okay, stand up. Linda brings this young lady up to me for some prayer, right? She's going through a divorce, and she's telling me how horrible her husband is. And she's describing it. I'm thinking, oh, that's me. No, he was a terrible man. There's no doubt about it. But as I was praying for her, God gave me a word. And I said, God's told me to tell you that it's not over yet. Oh, did she accept that? No, she didn't. She did everything but cuss me out, and I think she did that as she was walking away, didn't she, Linda? She was pretty upset with me. Don't be upset with me. That was God telling you that, ma'am. Oh, she tramped off, wouldn't hear it. Linda's apologizing. I said, Linda, it's okay. What happened after that, Linda? The man was a drunk, a cheat, all of that. He gave up drinking and got saved. That she wouldn't have had. Yep. So sometimes you're not going to know if it's really God. You're going to get mad. I remember with Pastor John one day, I said, I had a word for this young lady. He said, well, give it to her. I said, well, I feel a real spirit of suicide around you. Can I pray for you? No, I've never felt that. No way. No. No. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong. Her and her parents had left the church, and we got a call, about a year later, that she had tried to commit suicide. Terrible. But was that my fault? No. When God asks you to do something, all he wants you to do is do it. The outcome isn't yours. It's his. And one last thing, and I'm going to end here. I was just kidding about the 107, Kenny. Throwing out a fleece. Now, a lot of Christians laugh at this. Everybody knows that story. In case you don't, we're going to throw it up here real fast. Judges 6, 36 and 37. Judges 6, 36 and 37. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised. So God had already told him this was going to happen, but yet he wants some confirmation. Look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said. A lot of people say, now that's tempting God. That's something that we shouldn't do. But there's a right way. He wouldn't be there. He wasn't condemned for doing this, was he? There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. I use this all the time. I can remember, Kim here? She's teaching, okay. Just her for an example. For a while, she was attending another church, and she used to bring in a whole double row of ladies when Prophet Ed Trout comes in. And he's giving words and everything. And I'm sitting back there behind, and God gave me a word for three of those women. They weren't even sitting together at the time. Three women. And I'm thinking, God, why? The prophet is right there. He's prophesying over everybody. Tell him. Right? I don't know these women. I'm thinking, why would you do this when a prophet is standing here prophesying? You're telling me to give him a prophetic word. Doesn't make sense to me. But most of the things God does doesn't make sense to me. Thank goodness, because if it did, he'd be in trouble. But I said, God, if this is what you want me to do, you're going to have to make a way. That's how I always do it. God, if this is you, make a way. After service, I'm standing in the back there. Kim taps me. Well, I get a tap on the back. I turn around. It's Kim. I'd like you to meet some of my friends. What friends do you think it was? Those three ladies. True story, ask him. There was another time, I can give you many of these, but there's a right way and a wrong way to throw a fleece out there. You're not tempting God if you're asking him for help. The pastor had asked me to go to a funeral for a member of our church. It was during the day, so a lot of people couldn't make it. Sure, I went. Donna, where's Donna? Donna here? Donna, you remember that funeral we went to? We don't even need to say who it was. It was Donna, I, and my wife. We're the only ones there from our church. I found out that it was a Church of the Nazarene, which I knew nothing about other than it was an offshoot of the Baptist Church. And, you know, I hate to make judgments, but Baptist ladies can cook. I've been to a lot of Baptist churches. They can cook. So I'm thinking, well, they're going to have a nice meal afterwards. Oh, I'm there. Pastor, I got your back on this one. Don't worry. That's God. You heard from God. Yeah, I'm going there. Fried chicken. Oh. And where did we sit, Donna? Right by the kitchen, right? She followed my lead. I'm ready. I'm just happy as can be. I'm sitting here. And this gentleman was really a great Christian. He was. Because you could tell the amount. The place was packed with people. Small church. I mean, it was packed. There had to be a church built for 100 people. There was 200 people in there. And he had went to another church after he had retired. People had come all the way from Florida or somewhere to say goodbye to this man. I'm thinking, wow, this is great. They had five pastors there. This took forever. I'm starving to death here. You know, my stomach's growling. Pastor after pastor coming. And the last pastor that got up to speak, by this time I've gotten confused. I don't know which is which, who is who, but they're all giving a good word. No problem. God said, I've got a word for him, and I want you to give it to him. What? I'm here for the chicken, Lord. That's why you sent me here, remember? The fried chicken. Nope. This is what I want you to tell him. And Pastor Don so often shares, you know, I hate it when somebody I don't even know comes in and gives me a word, and that's what I'm thinking about during this. How can I do this? This guy don't know me from anybody. He is a pastor of some mega church in Florida or something, and I don't know who he is. I say, Lord, if this is you, you're going to have to make a way. That's the fleece, the way, right way to do a fleece. Lord, if this is you, you're going to have to make a way. This was like a two-hour funeral. Nobody would get up, one of those real quiet ones. There's no hollering, no yelling. There's dead there. They wouldn't even look to the side. 2 hours of this. Okay, by now, everybody's got to go to the bathroom. I'm sorry. Nature's calling. The end of that service, I mean, they had one bathroom, one men and one women's. It was not a big church. There was a mad dash. And I'm about in the middle of the pack. I was doing my best, but I'm about in the middle of the pack. There's a line outside the bathroom, about five, six men. There's five or six in there, and there's only facilities for a couple. So I finally worm my way in, and I'm washing my hands. I mean, this place is packed. I'm washing my hands, and I hear somebody say, hi, you friends of the family? I turn around and look. Guess who it was? That pastor. And now this is the part. I turn around, and there's nobody in the bathroom. There was 200 people in that bathroom a second ago. I said, all right, God. And the first thing I said, when we were sitting, when we were sitting there, God gave me a word for you. And he didn't say anything, but I felt that coldness come out of him, like, yeah. His eyes just roll back, you know, hit the floor behind him. Yeah, okay. And I didn't even know what it was. God hadn't even told me yet. So I'm standing there, and I said, and then he starts giving me some words of knowledge for the man, about somebody that had come into his congregation, and then something the Lord had been speaking to. By the time we left there, me and him are buddies. He'd give me his card with his number on the back of it. Right? Not because of me, it was because of God. So throwing a fleece out, if it's done correctly, like you're asking for God's help, there's nothing wrong with. But I'm going to leave. I think we're done here. There's plenty of more. I would mention one. One more real fast. Visions and dreams. But you have to be real careful. Sherry already grabbed me today that she had a dream, Pastor. All right? She's being sent in afterwards. We'll check that out. But dreams and visions. But you have to be really careful on dreams and visions. Because there's not that many times in the Word that dreams and visions, it's only a handful, really, of true dreams and visions. They're kind of rare compared to other things within the Word. But they're always very, very clear. And I only bring this up because we've had a real roll on that here lately. Right? Visions. Sherry is one that's a rare gift that she has. Laura Woolen has that gift too. Very few people do. I snore. I don't dream. I just snore. And their message is always obvious and always precise. And whenever you have a dream like that, no matter what it is, it should be run through leadership first, through the pastors. Amen? Amen. So there is no excuse not to know what God's will in your life is. He wants you to know what it is. He wants the best for you. If he sent his son to die for you, you think he's going to let you down on this? No. No. Quiet and listen. God loves obedience. You're only going to be judged on what he asks you to do. If he asked me to clean the carpet here, but I run out and build three houses on the next block. God, I built three houses for the poor people. But that's not what I asked you to do, Bob. I asked you to vacuum the floor. Did you do that? Well, God, I was busy building this house. Christianity can be simple. Listen to God and do what he asks you. He'll give you all the power and strength to do it. No matter you don't think you can, you're right. You can't, but he can. If he asks you to do it, he's going to make it happen. Amen? Listen. All right, let's close in prayer. Pastor, do you want me to close or you want to close? Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the time here, Father God, to share your word, to share what you've given me, Father God. Lord, I pray that no one leave here without a touch from you today, Father God. Could I have the prayer team come up? Lord, anyone that has a need, you're there to meet it. You want the best for us, Father. Lord, the greatest prayer that we can pray is, your will be done. And that's what we pray right now. Here we are, God. Use us. Father, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Need prayer? Come on up.